stand for the Lord. I always love to be here at Fairview Memorial. I've grown to think of this as my home church. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I've loved Fairview Memorial ever since we became a part of it because of the love that's been shown to us. And I certainly appreciate everything that Fairview Memorial has ever done for me. The love you've shown us, the prayers you've given for us, the way that you have held us up, and I need to be held up again tonight. And I ask for your all's prayers again tonight. I really appreciate the message that Brother Miller presented to us this morning about heaven and hell, about the rich man and Lazarus, how one believed, one didn't. One went to heaven, one went to hell. It sort of eased my thoughts tonight a whole lot on what I have to speak about. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us, we're going to be reading in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians tonight. And we're going to read the first 14 verses there. There is a word that is in this scripture reading tonight that I think has been taken out of context by some beliefs, some religious orders. And that word is predestinated. And I think as we heard that message this morning, we clearly see that no one is predestined to go to heaven. No one is predestined to go to hell. Amen. And I think that message this morning clearly pointed that out. But I want to read, like I said, the first 14 verses, first chapter of the book of Ephesians. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in the heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that holy promise, Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, as I said earlier, I want to talk about predestination tonight. And I want to talk about how people are not predestined. As we read these verses of Scripture here, we see here in the seventh verse, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to His riches of grace. If we were predestined, then we would need His grace. It would be assigned unto those who to be saved. It would be assigned unto those who would wind up in hell. We wouldn't have any options. We wouldn't have the choice of coming unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have the ability to come and to worship together. We would be made come and worship together. This morning when Brother Miller quoted 2 Peter 3:9, it says there that it's not God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There wouldn't be any need to come to repentance if it was predestined that people were to be saved or people would never be saved. And it says here in this fifth verse, or in the fourth verse rather, let me back up to it. According as He has chosen us in Him. Now there is a big difference between choosing someone and something being predestinated. God has chosen those people that are there for one reason, because they have believed in Jesus Christ. And it says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now God knew, even before He created the heavens and the earth, who of those people at Ephesus would be saved. He didn't predestinate them to be saved, but He knew who they would be. God knows everything from the beginning of time to through the end of time. He knows everything that it's going to happen just like it's now. Everything is in the present to God. Everything that's happened throughout the ages of time, everything that will happen throughout the remaining ages of time is just like it's happening now unto God. He knows it. He knows those people are. But He chose us in Him because before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. In other words, people had to be holy to be saved. Not before they got saved, because there's nobody holy before they get saved. Everyone is lost. Everyone is in their sins right before they're saved. But once they're saved, they become holy. A lot of people, well, I don't know how many, I don't know what kind of percentage, but there are people that do not stay holy once they've been saved. They drift back into the world. They go back and do things they shouldn't do. And it's not people that attend church on a regular time. It's not people that come to church all the time, that serve God, that worship God. That's not the ones I'm talking about. We're not perfect. We come to church. When I come to church, this group of people that's here tonight is usually here every time the doors are open. Every time I'm here, I can usually see these same faces, more or less. But the thing that I'm saying here is that God knew those people there and He chose them to be holy, just as He chose us to be holy in God's work here in this world. He chose us to be holy because we have been saved. He chose us because we are His children. There are people in this world today that are His children that are not holy. There are people in this world today that are His children that are not doing the things they need to be doing. They're not working for God. They're not living for God. And if you looked at their lifestyles, you would think they are not saved. But they are, because they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not all parents are happy with the things that their children do. God is not happy with all the things His children does. There's times when His children fall by the wayside. There's times when His children fall out of line, if you would. And when they do that, they're no longer holy. They're not doing what God wants them to do. It says in Revelation 3:21, it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne." God did not choose a certain number of people to be saved to sit down in heaven with Jesus Christ. He did not choose a select person to sit down with him in heaven. The only one that was ever predestined to sit down in heaven with God was Jesus Christ himself. And it was predestined that before the world was ever created, that he would come into this world, that he would live in this world for some 33 odd years. He would live here and he would die here in this world for our sins. And that he would be raised 3 days later, and that he would spend some 40 odd days after his resurrection here on this earth, and then he would ascend back into heaven, and he will stay there until the end of time. That, my friends, was predestined. It was a made-up event that God chose to happen before the world was ever created. Salvation is a predestinated fact. God made it so that people could be saved if they trusted Jesus Christ. There was a condition to that predestination. The condition was that you had to trust Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. That's the condition. But everybody that's been saved through the ages of time, regardless of how they act, regardless of what they do, they will be in heaven if they've ever been saved by the grace of God. And that's what our reading here tells us. In whom we have redemption, the seventh verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Not something that was determined beforehand. God has determined that there would be a church standing when Jesus Christ does come back. And somewhere in this world, there will be at least one church standing. One group of people meeting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They'll be worshiping him in truth and in spirit. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of so-called churches standing also. That'll be deceiving people, just as they're deceiving people today, even through this false doctrine of predestination. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and 21, it says there, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. It's predestined that when a group of people come together and they continue to come together and they continue to come together, that a church is formed there, that a church grows up, that a church comes into existence when a group of people continue to meet in the name of the Lord. When they are, when they see that they have a need and they get together and a group of saved people, not just a group of people, but a group of saved people. So let me rephrase that. A group of saved people come together and they form a church by the authority of another church. They don't just pop up. It comes through the authority of some other church. And that's the only way that it can happen. But it's predestined that there will be churches that will come into existence. Do I think that Fairview Memorial was predestined to exist? I don't know. But I do know there was a church predestined to be in this area. Where? I don't know. Maybe this was the one. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But I believe with all of my heart that God had a purpose for our church in this area. Maybe it was Old Union, the mother church of these churches around here. Maybe it was some other church. I don't know. But I know that God had a purpose and a need for a church in this area. When we go on, we see here that these group of people, they come together and they form a church. Well, it's also predestined for our own bodies. Come down to one-on-one. And I want to go over here into the book of John. Over in chapter 2 of the book of John. And it talks there about a single person. It looks there in verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Our body is a holy temple unto God, and God has predestined that people that become children of God, people that are saved, it's predestined that we should keep our bodies holy unto him. But we don't always follow that. We don't always do that. Sometimes we get confused between predestination and other things. We get confused between predestination and choice. We get confused between predestination and election. We get confused between predestination and other things. But my friends, God has predestined certain things to happen. He's predestined events to happen. But there's no people been predestined to serve him. God has known who would. We have, 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 preachers here in the service here tonight. God did not predestine a single one of us to become preachers. He chose us. He elected us, if you would. He wanted us to become preachers. We did by choice. That is not predestination. That is following the will of God, doing what God wanted us to do. God predestined that there would be preachers here. Maybe not here tonight, but somewhere in this area that there would be preachers. It doesn't mean that it was me. It doesn't mean it was Brother Moran or Brother Miller, Brother Buddy, or Brother Mike. It doesn't mean that God predestined us as men. But he did predestine that there would be people preaching the gospel in this area because it's happening. The events are taking place. So when we look under this, it says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, we that have been saved, it's been predestinated that we become children of God when we're saved. Not before. It can't happen before. God loves us. God wants us to be saved, but we are not his children until we become saved. And then we automatically become his child. We are predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Not by ourselves, not by our works, but by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. How does that happen? If we are created in his workmanship, we are to follow him. When we've been saved by his grace, we are to follow Jesus Christ and do things the way Christ did. We are to be Christians. And to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. We are predestined to do that. But we don't always do that. But people that are obedient children of God, they're following their predestined trail. They're following their predestined work. The work that we have comes after we're saved. We are His workmanship unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. It says we should walk in them. We don't always do that. We need to, and we should, according to God's word. God has said that we need to do this, but He's not making us to do this. We have our own free will. To be a good child of God, it is predestined that we should do this. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, in verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." We are to be good to one another. We are to be what God wants us to be. We are to be in the position that God can use us. We need to be where He can use us. We need to be willing to do what God would want us to do. I've been in services before, and I've told this before, and I have felt God wanting me to do something, to go say something to somebody. And I've hesitated just a little bit too long, and I've seen somebody else get up and go talk to that person. It's God's will that somebody go talk to that person. And when I didn't do it, He sent somebody else. If I had not answered my call to preach, God would have called somebody else. If Brother Moran hadn't answered his call to preach, he would have called somebody else. We are God's children. We are to do what God wants us to do. But we have a choice. If we didn't have a choice to do things, that message that Brother Miller preached this morning would have been totally out of line. We wouldn't have had any choice in it. But he preached a wonderful message this morning. I'm still bragging on you, Brother Miller. I appreciate that message. Appreciate and bragging on what the Lord did with you this morning, for you this morning. God wants us to be obedient. And if we are good children and are obedient unto Him, we will follow the course that He has laid out for us. But of course, we don't always all do that. In the book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 11. I want to turn over there and read that. Book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 11. It says, "For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth." Now the children here that they're being spoken of here is Isaac and Ishmael. God predestined that the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, would be prolonged, would go on through the seed of Abraham. But it was through the seed of Abraham and Sarah, not the seed of Abraham and Hagar. according to the way things were done back in those days, the firstborn unto the man of the family, the head of the household, he was to be the heir. God promised Abraham that he would have an heir. Sarah sort of laughed about it, and she didn't fully believe it. So she sent her handmaiden Hagar in to Abraham. Ishmael was the result of that unity. A few years later, Isaac was born. Ishmael did not become the heir apparent. Isaac did. And the way that God had it set up, that it would be through the seed of Abraham and Sarah, not Abraham and Hagar. Things happen. People try to interfere. People try to help God along. We don't need to do that. We need to follow the leadership of God and what God tells us. We need to trust that it will happen. Because everything that God says has happened or it will happen. There's not been anything loose in the Bible. There's not been anything that has been told of that has not come to pass except those things which are still in the future. Jesus Christ is coming back to this world one day after a while. It's been predestinated that He would. And it will happen. It's been predestinated that people that get saved have to be saved through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that people can be saved. If it was so that people had no choice, then we don't need to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. All we need to do is just stay home, do what we want to, and those that are going to be saved are going to be saved regardless of what we do or what we don't do. And those that are going to go to hell, they're going to hell regardless of what we do or don't do. Attending services here is a waste of time if the belief of predestination for salvation was true. These verses of Scripture here that I've read here tonight, they are very plain. They teach us that it comes through Jesus Christ. We are to act in a certain way. We are to walk in a certain way. We are to be a certain type of people. God predestinated that if we're good Christians, if we're good children of God, we'll do things this way. But again, we have the option. We don't have to follow God. We can do things our own way. And when we do, we mess them up. We don't come out with a good ending. The only way that we can do things properly, the only way that we can do things and get it right is to follow the leadership of God. In the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus is talking to His disciples there. And He says, "Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you." And there is a difference there. Jesus took that which John the Baptist had baptized. He took those people that believed in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was coming into the world the first time. Those people that believed that had a good experience of salvation, John the Baptist baptized them. Then Jesus took those men, and from them He chose 12. It wasn't predestined that those 12 would be the ones. It could have been any of those 12. But Jesus called those 12 because He knew they would follow Him. He knew it. Just like He called some of us men to preach today, because He knew we would. Some of us might have a problem with it. Some of us might struggle with it for a while. But he knew in the end we would come under his leadership and do what he wanted us to do. It scared me to death when I was sitting back there and Brother Moran was standing up here preaching. And the Lord told me, said, that's what I want you to do. I've never been so scared in all of my life. I didn't want to do it. Of course, you all know the events that led up after that. And if I had not accepted that which he had chosen for me to do, he'd have called somebody else. But he knew I would do it. However, reluctantly in the beginning, he knew I'd do it. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad he did now. I'm very glad he did. Not because I'm anything special, because I'm not. I'm a long way from being anything special. But God has tried to use me, and I've tried to let him. And it wasn't predestined that I would do that. I had the choice. God gave me that choice. And I'm glad I followed him. I'm glad I done what he would have me to do. In the book of Acts, chapter 9 and verse 15, Ananias was having problems going to see Paul. Well, Saul at that time. Here was a man that was breathing fire and brimstone against the church. As Brother Miller said this morning, we need some more fire and brimstone messages, and we do. But here was a man that was breathing fire and brimstone against the church. God had saved his soul and told him to go on to Damascus, and he was to stay in a certain man's house. And then God told Ananias, said, go down there. Talk to this man. Ananias didn't want to do it because he had heard of the way that Saul did. But God told him, he said, he's chosen of me. Wasn't predestinated, he was chosen. And there is a difference. Said he was a holy vessel unto him. It's what God called Saul. So Ananias surrendered. And Ananias went down and talked to him. But had Ananias not went down, God would have had somebody else go do the work. God always has a backup. God's work is going to be done one way or another. It doesn't matter how many people he's got to call. Doesn't matter how many people that he has to choose. All of those that refuse to do the work, God has got somebody else waiting in the wings. And it'll get done. So these people here, they were indeed predestinated. Not the people themselves, but the events that occurred around them. We go into the book of the Acts in chapter 10. I'm sorry, it's not chapter 10 either. Yes, it is. I can't count. I thought it was in chapter 10, verse 39. It says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ here. It says, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us. Now, when Jesus Christ came out of that grave, there was a few chosen people there. that God allowed to see Jesus Christ. He didn't show him to the entire world at that time. But the entire world has had an opportunity to see him through witnesses since that time, through his word. It says, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. If it was predestined for people to be saved or lost, then nobody would receive remission of sin. So I think that people need to realize that there is something that we can do. Christians need to realize that there's something that we can do. We need to go out and we need to be good witnesses for God. We need to be willing to share with other people what we have. In verse 9 it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good purpose, which he has purposed in himself. There's a lot of scriptures in here that talks about the will of God. There's a lot of scriptures that teach us different things about different wills of God. But we have a mystery of the will of God. And that mystery is Jesus Christ. And that mystery is to be revealed unto the world. In the book of Romans chapter 16 and in verse 25 it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It was known unto mankind that Jesus Christ would come into the world. That Jesus Christ would come and be a sacrifice. He would set up a kingdom. People didn't understand that exactly in the old days before Christ came. They felt that he would restore the great nation of Israel to its former power. That's not what he came to do. He came to set up the kingdom of God. And that was his predestination. That was his purpose. That was the will of God. And that church that he set up during his ministry is still in the world today. And it'll be in the world somewhere when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes back. And he will come back. And it's our duty to reveal the mystery of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the Savior. That Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. And it's our duty to do that. And we need to do it every day, regardless of where we're at. I appreciate the time that the church has given me to speak tonight. This subject has been on my heart for quite some time. And it's hard for me to understand that there's people that believe you have no choice in salvation. It's hard for me to believe that you have no choice in following the leadership of God. God has made us free moral agents. God has given us a brain to use. He's given us a soul to follow. He's given us everything that we need to trust His Son. He's given us every reason in the world and out of the world to follow His Son. We need to do that. Even after we're saved, we still need to follow the leadership of God. He's given us His Word to teach us. He's given us the testimonies of people that it's happened to before. We have examples after examples after example by testimony, by events that we've seen happen. And we ought to have enough sense to follow the leadership of God. But we do have that option not to. It's a bad option. And for people that will not follow the leadership of God, they need messages like we heard this morning. They need messages about heaven and about hell. They need to know the full truth of the gospel. They need to know what has happened to us because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to share it with them. We need to pass it along. Again, I hope that somebody has gotten something out of what we've been able to try to say tonight. Brother Miller, turn the service back over to you.